for some reason, you know, I think just family in general has a tendency to just, it's kind of a reverse ATM. You just walk by one of them and money gets sucked out of your pocket somehow. Yes. I don't know why, but that seems to be the way it is.
You're not going to believe who I caught up with this time. My brother-in-law, Kevin Wine. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. What have you been up to today?
I've been painting the trim around the house here. It's what I do, you know, in my off times when I'm not out saving the world and that sort of thing.
So, Kevin, what was it like for you raising three sons and a daughter?
Well, I mean, it was a piece of cake. What can I say? There was no challenges. Fortunately, all of the kids are just like me, so it's worked out extremely well. If they had been like my wife, oh boy. But really, you know, I mean, it really was no challenge.
It was ideal for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. We all still get along very well. I don't know who this other woman is, but nevertheless, I mean, we get along fine. It's just been a real picnic. I mean,
so
they're all out of jail now, so I'm feeling really good about it.
So we're going to go round robin here, and just for a moment, Kevin Wine, I need you to be serious as much as you can. Greatest challenge.
Greatest challenge.
Greatest challenge.
The greatest challenge has been not letting the urgent things get in the way of the important things.
Great. Favorite family outing?
Favorite family outing. My extended family goes over to Indiana and to a state park for a few days between Christmas and New Year's. Every year we've done it for 33 or 34 years. And it's always a great time, and the kids remember it, and they've grown up there, and we've been at the same lodge every year. And it's just that kind of continuity has somehow provided some context for not only my kids, but their cousins. And it's just been a real vault of memory. It's been really great.
You and Candace have been so good about setting traditions and doing something that's not just routine, but something that, as you said, it's a memory for a lifetime. Kudos to both of you for that.
Lack of imagination on both of our parts has really led us in that direction.
Okay, we're back to the round robin. Most embarrassing moment. Okay. Most embarrassing moment as a dad.
I'm supposed to pick one.
Okay, we'll go for two.
Well, I'm trying to think of what would have been the most embarrassing moment. Probably doing some remodeling here at the house, and there was an old lamp that I was taking out of the ceiling, and it had this chain. It was kind of, I think they were called swag lamps or something, so you unhooked it from the ceiling and it was just laying on the floor. And one of my kids, who was probably about three at the time, walked in, and I was up on a ladder. I couldn't get to him. I was up on a ladder and I said, "Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that." And he picked it up, and the way he picked it up, his thumb went right into the light socket, and he got the buzz of his life. And I heard myself say, "Did you learn anything?"
Oh,
so,
no.
You know, Mr. Compassion here, that one was, I think that qualifies as embarrassing, to hear yourself say things that you really didn't want to. I've been kind of rough on my kids. Let's see, I hit one of them in the head with a shovel. All these were accidents.
Wait, I was going to say,
these were accidental.
These are accidents, because I'm about to be calling family services somewhere.
No, this was all accidental. By the way, a jury of my peers, fathers of toddlers, would clearly see that I'm innocent through all of this. So
yes.
I hit one kid in the head with a shovel. One kid got hit with, got electrocuted. Another one. These are all related to construction projects for some reason.
Electrocuted?
It was a story I just told you about the light socket.
But shocked. He went on to grow up.
Yeah, shocked. Okay. Yeah, that's probably a more accurate term. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as, I mean, I was still listing them as dependents on the IRS of the 1040 form. So, you know, They were still around.
Okay, we better move on to another one because you're making me very nervous.
Oh yeah. Well, this is part of the retirement plan now that I'm out of work. Is, you know, you get 3 squares a day in prison, so it, you know, this may not be that bad of a deal, really.
Oh my goodness. I would like to go on the record to say I have seen his adult children, and amazingly, they are normal. In fact, they're awesome. And so everything's cool there.
And another point to make along those lines is they have actually entrusted me for extended periods of time with their children, my grandchildren. So either their memories are faulty, or it wasn't as bad as I'm making it out to be.
Or you've had the practice and you're much better at it now, so they thought they would give you one more chance. Maybe.
Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah,
let's go with that.
So, Kevin, here's another question. Greatest reward?
Grandchildren.
I thought you would say that. And how many do you have currently?
Right now, I have 3, and I have 1 on the way, then 1... passed away at birth last year. So I have 5 grandchildren, just 3 that I can play with right now.
And I want to get to that precious granddaughter in just a moment, but what has been the hardest thing you've ever had to go through?
I'm going to set the death of my granddaughter aside, but in raising my kids, probably when there was something, when you learned something about them that you really didn't want to learn and that you couldn't believe, and yet you fully realized that it was very similar to who I was, you know, it's personality type things, and some of them, you know, were a little more serious than that. But it's, you know, these are human beings that we end up raising all the time, and they do have their own personalities and their own bents, and not all of those would be considered healthy or godly. So, you know, it's that sort of thing, the disturbing fact of finding out your kids are human. That's probably been the most difficult part.
And then you've alluded to this twice, your precious granddaughter, Eden. Mm-hmm. What was that like to watch your children go through pain that you couldn't comfort them fully or change or fix what had happened?
Yeah. This is going to sound horrible, but I guess most of this conversation does sound horrible. Seriously, I was thinking more about me than them as I look back on it. And I hate to have to admit that, but there was a 4-year-old at our church who had a brain tumor and died. And I went and I had taught her Sunday school class and that sort of thing. And I knew her pretty well. And she would go through some very painful episodes, sometimes right in your class, where she would burst into tears as if somebody was sticking her with something sharp in her brain, in her head. And I found myself thinking, well, what kind of God is this, that this makes sense to him? And I wrestled through that, and it was at her funeral that kind of set my course for everything to follow, and that included the death of my granddaughter. And I learned something, that first of all, this world is not heaven. And we should not confuse the two. That's very clear to me. Everything that we experience has to be weighed against what God has done for us. And so the events that take place in my life do not define or change the goodness and character of God. And that is because, as painful as it was to see who at the time would have been my only granddaughter, to experience that loss, all I have to do to avoid being angry with God, all I have to do is look at the sacrifice that he allowed his son to go through for me. And everything that happens to me when I compare that to the cost of Jesus dying on the cross, it just, for me, in my puny brain, it just kind of clears the slate and says, that's who God is. God is such a good and loving God that he spared no one or nothing to make sure that I could spend eternity with him. And how can I look at what is happening to my life right now and feel any differently about who God is? And I just can't. So yes, it was painful. Yes, I had my grieving time. Yes, I called out to God. I prayed to God, but he didn't give me what I wanted, clear and simple, but he did give me what I needed.
So
that is his presence at the right time.
So I remember being on the road at the time. I was doing a speaking engagement somewhere in the nation, and I received a text from Candace, your wife. I thought I was receiving the text to tell me that Kara and Daniel had given birth to Eden. And I was shocked when I read that something terribly had gone wrong and Eden's life had been taken before she was born. It was a stillbirth. Were you at the hospital that night, or where were you?
When my daughter went in to deliver Eden, I went in that evening after the delivery, and I got to hold Eden. We all got to hold her as long as we wanted. To look at a snapshot of me holding the baby, you would have thought, oh, yep, there's a new baby. The baby's asleep. She fully formed, it looked like a baby, but it was just the body of a baby. My family has always had the decency to die in order, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Nobody dies until you're real old. That's just the unwritten rule in our family and extended family. That's just always the way it's been done. And in this particular case, it was just so devastating that this is out of order. This is not the way we do things. It was just preposterous, some of the thoughts that were going through my head. But, you know, the facts were the facts.
And then what do you say to your daughter with her arms being empty?
Wow. I don't know. One thing I've learned over the years, when somebody dies, quote unquote, when they're not supposed to, is the surviving spouse, family members, friends, they don't remember what you say. So it's more important to be there than to say something beneficial. I don't even try to say something beneficial. I try to get out the words, I'm so sorry. And I hold a hand or I hug or whatever. And I just make sure that they know I'm there and that I'm praying. And I'm not the kind to come up with great quotes anyway. And so that's really all I can do. And as far as I can tell, that's what people have needed at the time. And maybe they know me well enough not to expect any words of wisdom ever from me. But, you know, your presence and just conveying your love and care for them seems to be enough.
Kevin, I think you've hit on a really great point. No matter if our children are going through tragedy or the greatest time of their life, it's to be there. It's to be there to be supportive, and those hugs and reaching out to them. You're right. Maybe if we all could keep our mouths shut just a little bit more and hug more often, I don't know. But you know as well as I do, parenting is on the spot. It's like a ball game that's out of control. You never know what pitch is coming towards you, but you better be ready for it.
That is so true. And of course, I was joking earlier when I said all the kids were like me. I was there for the birth of all four of our kids. I saw the nurses put the name band on the wrist of the infants, on all four of them. So I know they were mine. They didn't get switched at the hospital. But where do these personalities come from? I have no idea. It just amazes me that they can all be so different. They came from the same place, from the same two people, and yet they're so different from each other. It's amazing to me.
Amazing. Okay, well, back to our round robin. Most expensive moment being a dad.
Most expensive, like most costly?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to go with teaching them to drive, but maybe it would be either. Well, certainly with a girl, it's weddings, but college, yeah, cars, yeah. It's been interesting. I've talked to friends of mine who are my age, or you know, this stage of life where the kids are grown and gone. And before, I had a couple of friends that they started their family sooner than I did, and so they. I said, "So tell me now, Steve. Now that the kids are grown and gone, what are you doing with all your extra time and extra money?" And they would get this. Every one of them would get this deer in the headlights look, like, and you'd see them muttering to themselves something like, "Yeah, I should have more time. I should have more money." And for some reason, you know, I think just family in general has a tendency to just, it's kind of a reverse ATM. You just walk by one of them and money gets sucked out of your pocket somehow.
Yes.
I don't know why, but that seems to be the way it is.
Why did you bring up driving for most expensive?
There was a time, Gail, when I owned, it was either four or five cars. My name was on the title. And I owned four or five cars, and not one of them was a car that I really wanted. You know, I mean, you know, it's not like I could trade them all in and get one Porsche or anything like that. It was just, you know, it just wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. It was my money. Everybody knew it was my money. I told them it was my money. Oh, and I would.
Hold on just a second.
Is that? Okay. What's the most exciting podcast you've ever done? Well, the one when the fire alarm went off, I guess.
It's actually my phone.
That's your phone?
That's my phone, yes, because I get windy people like you doing interviews, and I go, okay, time's up. That's it. And so for your final thought. you are one funny guy, and I do know that you have a few serious parts in your life. But when you were talking about fatherhood, you capped it well, Kevin. The ups, the downs, the losses, the gains. And I'm just wondering, would you be so kind to just encourage a dad out there? What does he need for today? And what does he have to look forward to for tomorrow, should it come?
Well, I would encourage fathers that are dealing with teenagers or younger, or, you know, even newborns and toddlers, that time passes so quickly. Focus on your kids. Give time to your kids. Time is the one thing that everybody has, that everybody can give, but it seems like there's way too many things that want a piece of that. And you just have to give very deliberate decisions about how much time you're going to spend at work and how much time you're even going to volunteer for good things at your church or volunteer opportunities or whatever. Your most important role, what God has decided to entrust to your care, are the most valuable people to you on earth. And not only that, but what you do and the decisions you make, you're actually training your kids to raise your grandkids. And so take the long view, make the investment, look at what's important, and make conscious, deliberate decisions about these youngsters that you have in your charge for such a short period of time. I guarantee you will feel good about those decisions down the road. You won't feel good about your investments. You won't give a whip about any position you've accomplished or maintained in your business organization. How your kids turn out will carry a huge weight and ultimately blessing for you if you do it in a way that where God is infusing his love and you're making those decisions in a way that are consistent with what the Bible teaches. That's been my experience anyway.
Well done. Thank you. Would you be willing to pray for that dad listening today that you have encouraged?
Sure. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and for conversation Gail and I've had. And Lord, I thank you for the blessings of my children and my grandchildren. And I thank you for the hard times that we've gone through as a family. And I thank you for being there and providing us with your peace at the time we needed it. And Lord, there's someone listening right now that feels that they're in the middle of it and they can't see anything positive, and they can't see any way out of this that's going to make any sense. And I ask that as with Corrie Ten Boom, what she said about getting her train ticket, that you would make a special delivery for that dad right now, and that your peace would come over them in an inexplainable way, that they would experience what you provide through your spirit. And I ask for blessings for them, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whatever it might be, Father, that you would bless them with your presence during these difficult times, and that you would also open their hearts, their minds, and their eyes to an innovative way to meet the need that there may be with their children, with their family. Thank you, Father, that we can count on you for your presence and the nearness of your spirit. And I ask blessings on these gentlemen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, you've got a big summer coming up. You've got a new grandbaby coming. Your second son is about to be married. This is amazing. Soon you're going to get to go live with all of them, right?
You know, if we can get them spread out to the right places, I think we can just keep bouncing around and pretend like we still have an income and a place to live of our own. But if we just keep moving, you know, I think we'll be okay.
Sounds good. And listen, if I can be so candid and take a chance here at being very, very vulnerable with you right now, I'd like to point out something about just something I've noticed today. You missed about 2 inches on that trim over there on the right side of that door. You might just want to go back and check that out before Candace gets home.
You know, it's a real statement of the quality of my work when a woman like yourself can somehow see through my cell phone. And oh, by the way, with your vision problems as they are, what does that say about my entire paint job that you can somehow sense the quality?
It's extremely noticeable. That's why you've got a few minutes to get it right before Candace gets home.
Thanks. You know, the bizarre thing is, as you were saying that, I actually walked over to the trim to take a look. Yes. Who's the idiot now?
Listen, this has been fun. Thank you so much for letting me interrupt your day, and thanks for all that you shared. I appreciate it. Give my love to Candy and all the family.
Will do. Do the same at your end.
Thanks. I'll see you soon. This is Gail. If you're needing hope, I would like to recommend my book, Hope Sees, Beyond Obstacles, Challenges, and Disappointments. You can find it at gailmcwilliams.com/tools.